You are listening to Main Street on member-supported Prairie Public. I'm Eric Dethridge in for Craig Blumenschein, and all this week we're playing some holiday-themed programming while Craig and crew take a break. He'll be back with you next Monday right here on Prairie Public. In the second half of the show, get ready to be delighted by Concordia College's world-famous choir. You'll hear music from their holiday extravaganza recorded in Moorhead in 2023. It'll really get you in the spirit. Promise. Scout's honor. But for the first half of the show, we did ask Craig for two of his favorite moments on Main Street from the last year. We thought we would share with you. In just a little bit, you'll hear one of our regular contributors mark a very impressive milestone on Prairie Public. But first, meet photographer Roxanne Westman of Roxy's Place Photography. Her passion is depicting the abundance of natural beauty in our region. Here's Craig with that conversation.
I met you at the Fargo Street Fair and cut through all the people, I think, to see all of the beautiful pictures that you've taken about the region, landscape photography. It's just beautiful. Take me back, Roxanne, to when you started the desire to become a photographer.
Well, actually, my dad loved the outdoors. He had a camera. And probably for my fifth birthday, he bought me the little Brownie camera. So I've had a camera always, have always been using it out in nature or family pictures or whatever. It wasn't probably till about 2007, 2008 where I thought, you know, maybe I've always loved photography. I think we look inside of ourselves, so we all have desires. So I started to pursue it. It's like, well, I've always loved photography. Maybe I can do something with this. So I took a lot of classes, went to workshops, joined a camera club, which Fargo Moorhead does have a camera club. So joined that and just kept developing my photography over time. I've always loved craft shows, you know, attending craft shows, art shows, and just seeing what everybody can do. And I just have always thought that was cool. So I thought, maybe that's something I could do. So I talked to my family about it. And they're like all in. They were my biggest supporters. My daughter actually is the one that came up with the name for my business, Roxy's Place Photography.
My landscape photographers do a lot of different things. They do portraits, they have studios, athletics, many, many different things that one can do.
Right.
You've chosen landscapes as your primary focus.
I think we're all, during life, we're all formed in different ways by many different factors. And I was lucky. I grew up on a farm. Being a farm kid, we were outside all the time. So I've always had a love for nature. And then to tell a story, to me, that's landscape photography. Tell the story with your, you know, whatever you're capturing that day. And sometimes it takes work, you know, where am I going to, what angle? And just being able to take a drive in the country and enjoy nature just kind of led me into landscape photography, just showing the beauty. I think God has just given us so much beauty around us, and to display that and give him all the glory.
Roxanne, we moved here from Wyoming. And when we came here, one of the first things that I thought is that there's not as much natural beauty here in North Dakota. You're telling me a different story here, that there is some great natural beauty right here where we live.
There is. It's all in all seasons. You know, we're lucky. Of course, Wyoming has winters, but we're lucky we have some beautiful winters here. Beautiful sunrises where the sun will rise and just light the snow orange. And it's formed by farming. The wheat is starting to turn yellow. It's just beautiful. It's golden. And there's nothing more detailed than a head of wheat with all the little kernels in there. And it's just beautiful in the sunset, and we have sunflower fields, and then to capture storms, so we have beautiful thunderstorms that roll throughout North Dakota, and winter storms are just as much fun.
Are you sure?
It's snowing, and it's blizzarding, and I hit my husband up, let's go. So we do. We're fortunate where we live, just southwest of Kindred a little ways. My dad always called it the Sand Hills. But there's hills out there, and they were, back in the Depression, they were covered with just all sand. And of course, the Corps of Engineers came in and planted a lot of trees and shelter belts out there. So now they're not as, you can't see as much sand out there, but it's beautiful in the Cheyenne National Grassland. It's maybe 20 miles away from here. It's just rolling hills and there's some trees and streams out there. So
enjoying my conversation with Roxanne Westman. She owns Roxy's Place Photography here in eastern North Dakota. We're in front of a wall of incredibly beautiful pictures that we're going to describe for our listeners. Roxanne, take it away. Let's go one by one.
All right. We live in the eastern part of North Dakota, which is right next to Minnesota. So I love doing photography in Minnesota. The North Shore up north of Duluth is absolutely incredible. So what we're looking at here is a picture in Cascade River State Park. And there are leaves and pine needles that have fallen onto the rocks that just give it a beautiful red, yellow glow on the rocks. And then some cedar trees jutting up out of the rocky landscape. And then this beautiful, soft waterfall that comes down on the side of the image with a little bit of the river going through the picture. Okay, now we're still in North Dakota. This is just early January. This is in the Cheyenne National Grasslands. I had been out there the day before. Winter here, the sun is pretty far south, so you can kind of estimate where it's going to come up at. So I had checked out this spot the day before. I love the fence line going through it. It's very simple. You know, North Dakota, eastern part of North Dakota, there isn't a lot of hills. So this was some rolling hills. And where it was snowing when I was out there. So I thought, you know what? Morning looked partly cloudy. So I grabbed my snowshoes, grabbed my dog, and we had to hike out half a mile to this spot. She wasn't very happy with me because the snow was so pristine, there were no tracks through it, so I made her stay by my side so I could get the shot while the sun was rising, and it was just another gift.
You know, you mentioned that it is simple. It is simple, but if you just think about it, it's beautiful. It is, in many ways, nature's complexity boiled down to in a real simple place.
It is.
Roxanne, where can people learn more about what you do?
All right. I have a website, roxysplacephotography.com. And then Facebook, my page is Roxy's Place Photography Studio.
Beautiful work. Roxanne Westman of Roxy's Place Photography. It's been a real pleasure.
All right. Thank you, Craig.
Hope you enjoyed the conversation with Roxanne Westman, our very own Craig Blumenschein, one of his favorite conversations of the year. And you can hear why. You really get a sense of the natural beauty, the landscapes that make up North Dakota. You know, I had a chance to drive from Minot to Bismarck a couple months ago, and the way she was describing the glistening of the wheat fields, just how golden it was. It was one of the most breathtaking experiences I've ever had, and people looked at me like I had two heads. But it is beautiful around here. I think you know that, and a very nice conversation to remind us of that fact. I'm Eric Detheridge, and next up, another one of Craig's favorite conversations from 2024. Speaking of the landscape of this part of the world, one who eloquently describes it in his essays marked a very awesome milestone in 2024. It's Tom Ezern. He will read his 1,000th Plains Folk essay in just minutes. But first, this conversation marking this historic occasion.
Tom, when did you learn you were a storyteller?
Probably when I was in college, but it began to come out more so, I suppose, when I began to teach. And there evolved a narrative style in that.
In your lectures, so to speak?
Yeah. At a time when many people thought history was a social science, I was a storyteller. And you know, students kind of took to that, and I went with it.
Why the Great Plains, Tom?
Yeah, most people at a certain point only care to see their prairie home in the rearview mirror. I believe there's a song about that from West Texas, by the way. But there is a time when you embrace your roots. And so I believe a fairly typical life trajectory in that respect. Like most farm boys from the middle of the Great Plains, I left home and had an elder brother who was going to be the farmer. And there's only room for so many farmers anymore, you know. But then maintained an abiding interest, not only in my roots there, but in the farm itself, which we celebrated the sesquicentennial of last summer, in which my wife Suzanne and I are active partners yet today.
Did you think we'd be sitting here today, 1,000 essays later, Tom?
I was not planning ahead like that. Life takes too many different 90 degree or more or worse turns. And so, no, I couldn't have envisioned that. But you know, it goes back farther than that. My old co-author, Jim Hoy, when I was with Emporia State of Kansas, he and I were coming back from doing 7 lectures in one day in some other country town, and we kicked up this idea of a newspaper column. This is in 1985, and we still swap weeks writing a newspaper column called Plains Folk that runs mainly in our own, we're both natives of Kansas. And it runs there, and I think around 2,162 of those.
Wow.
And then there's this other Plains Folk series that's pretty much North Dakota-based. It's sometimes Great Plains at large, and now and then I write one from Australia or New Zealand, you know, kind of another grassy place. And that started, you know, nigh on to 20 years ago now. Yeah, and now that we're on to SOE number 1,000. No, so I wouldn't have envisioned this long trajectory.
How did it work? Who did you reach out to come to Prairie Public and say, you know what, Skip, I'd like to do this?
I didn't reach out. Skip Wood did.
Skip Wood, our former producer,
yeah, he
reached out to you.
My first producer there at Prairie Public.
What did he say?
He said, I noticed you've been writing some stuff for newspapers around here, because I was, and things were running in the Tribune. Have you ever thought of going radio? I said, no. And then I did. And that, you know, there have been unexpected repercussions from that.
Good, bad?
Yeah, Wahpeton to Williston, in a gathering, I'm liable to be recognized, fortunately not for my face, but by voice. And that took me by surprise when it started to happen. And then people come up and they act like we've known each other for years, you know, and I guess in a way sort of we have. There's like some relationship established purely on the basis of voice. And I knew human voices were powerful, but that it still took me by surprise.
You've reflected, Tom, this year. I know you have. You've shared that with me. You've thought about a lot of things. You've thought about your life teaching. I think you're going to write about or talk about here in just a little bit in your 1,000th Plains Folk essay. Funniest stories, coolest stories. Have those rung your bell here while you've been thinking about all that you've contributed to our listeners here at Prairie Public?
Funniest stories? I'll tell you one here. And this is from the whole ball about doing a history of grassy places, as I commonly describe it. My wife, Suzanne Kelly, another great historian and editor. We go back and forth to New Zealand. We have 20 year and more research interests there, in a particular upland basin in central Otago. And we like to go to the New Zealand Historical Association meeting. We fly down for whenever we can for it. And I was talking to my friends there. I said, what should I present? What should we present about there? And they said, this is probably 2018, said, you got to talk about DAPL. I said, I'm a little uncomfortable as an old white guy talking about this. And I says, you're who we got. you have present on that. And so we worked up the paper, making it plain that we're not speaking for the tribes, we're not speaking for a tribe, we're not speaking for any indigenous person here. We're speaking for a couple of white people whose eyes have kind of been opened by the developments here. And we got in the middle of this thing. And we're tag team in the presentation. Suzanne was reading then the section where we talked about the nature of the conflict out on the Cannonball. And said, you know, this looks like a lot like a war. Look at the equipment around here. Oh, and then we realize this isn't a war. This is the war. It's one episode in a war that's been going on since at least 1868. And the perception of the parties at Standing Rock is this is just one more episode, that we've been under siege the entire time. And we're in a room full auditorium, not a big auditorium, a small amphitheater. Back 2 rows, all filled with Maori scholars, with the indigenous scholars of New Zealand, and they're listening to this stuff, and they've been following the stuff of the States. While she's reading, verbatim text, the way
your wife.
Going, yeah, while mm-hmm. she's reading this paper we'd written, they all leapt to their feet and started to applaud. Because, and we realized, geez, they think we nailed it. You know, the white people understood what they've been trying to tell us all along. And I just had to stop for a little bit there and recover from being so nonplussed that that reception was that full voiced. That reflects a general proposition that, you know, if you're working with any body of people with respect, and you do it over time, then you start to get that reaction, you know, an appreciation for finally somebody's listening to what we're saying. I think the whole body of work is that. That's what Plains Folk is about. I'm listening. I'm also talking back a little bit, but mostly I'm listening.
It's a great prelude, Tom, to you reading your 1,000th Plains Folk essay for us here on Prairie Public. Would you?
I have before me Plains Folk Radio essay number 1,000 called Going Public. Every year is a mixed bag, always with its measure of miseries, but this one, 2024, is packed with celebratory milestones for me. 50 years of college teaching under my belt, 150 years of successful agriculture on our family farm, and now 1,000 radio essays under the title Plains Folk, composed and voiced for Prairie Public. There have been some awards recently, too, at least one of which is in the life achievement category. And I'm not sure what they were thinking there, but let's dispel any sense I'll be cashing in my chips anytime soon. I continue to teach from freshmen to PhDs. Family farm has more kids and more cattle on it than at any time since 1874. Come next week, ready or not, you can expect Plains Folk Radio essay number 1001 on Prairie Public. You see, now well past my biblically allotted 70, I still operate with multiple advantages, all matters of grace, for which I'm duly thankful. I have the health and the acuity to carry on. Well, you know, you be the judge of that. I have grandchildren and great-grandchildren who tilt me toward the future. I have the privilege of living a life of letters and learning, and the capacity to embrace literary enterprises that regenerate gray matter, like my return to the performance and scholarship of balladry 4 years ago. These are not random circumstances that just somehow aligned. Farm, faith, upbringing, landscape, education, and the occasional brush with mortality all are shaping influences. I have what I know is a privileged position at a great land-grant university, titles, medals, and all that, which makes many things possible. Most of all, I have an exceedingly fortunate marriage to a life partner who herself walks the walk of letters and learning and teaches me, yes, sometimes corrects me, every day. As for a literary life on the plains, I still have aspirations that sprawl across the beloved landscape, some of which I won't talk about now because they are too presumptuous, but here is one to make of record here in Prairie Public Radio essay number 1,000. In 1931, the foundational scholar of Great Plains Studies, Walter Prescott Webb, published The Great Plains. I own 2 first editions of Webb's masterwork, one with uncut pages, a useless relic that I like to hold in my lap when I fall asleep in my big bison leather chair. Webb wrote a history for the 20th century. It is my aspiration and intention, God willing, to publish in 2020. I'll start that paragraph again.
Say what you say, Tom. What do you say when you make an error?
Romagrot. Here we go again. Webb wrote a history for the 20th century. It is my aspiration and intention, God willing, to publish in 2031 a history of the Great Plains for the 21st century, tentatively entitled A Great Big Place. Some of you may recognize the reference. I'm going public with this, and you will hear highlights from it in this forum for years to come. For you and I, dear listener, have always been treated with respect here at Prairie Public, don't you think? We can talk about anything in the realm of the public good, and we do not empower its adversaries. I offer my voice here for a constructive history and a good life on the Great Plains of North America. Thank you.
What is Romagrot? Tom? Am I pronouncing that right?
Rummelgrøt is a Norwegian cream porridge.
I've heard you say that, not a thousand times, but a few.
Yeah.
Why that word?
It's because it prevents outbursts of profanity. We just say Rummelgrøt instead. When I was doing the Audible version of the book, Pacing Dakota, the wonderful woman who was working with me as well producer of that, and then we agreed upon that code word. That means I busted it. I'm backing up and starting again.
Tom, it's been a pleasure for me to get to know you as someone who's new to this state. I've learned how valuable you are to me, and I know I'm not alone. And thank you so much for all that you've contributed from all of us at Prairie Public, Tom.
You're more than kind. Thank you. Thank you, Craig.
That was Craig Blumenschein talking to Tom Easern after he read his 1,000th Plain Folk essay back on October 17th, 2024. I'm Eric Etheridge. You're enjoying Main Street on Prairie Public, coming right up. If you're feeling bah humbug about the holidays, we have some sounds that should turn your frown upside down. Stay with us. Prairie Public is your radio and streaming home for international, national, and regional news, outstanding non-commercial programming, and classical and roots rock and jazz music. We've also got tons of on-demand listening at prairiepublic.org, including podcasts. Check out the wonderfully intergenerational Davy B's Hit Song Vault for some fun musical nostalgia.
Then came Walk Like an Egyptian.
Oh.
Which was a goofy romp.
The timely and provocative Philosophical Currents with Jack Russell Weinstein.
The drag shows that are out there are so much milder than primetime television and commercials. This has to be about something else.
Learn facts and maybe some tall tales about the land we're living in on natural North Dakota.
The extremely secretive jackalope is perhaps the most elusive animal in the western United States.
And there's a ton of flavor on Dakota diners.
Do you like spicy?
Believe it or not, despite the fact that I've got Norwegian in me.
Good night. This is absolutely delicious.
And that's just a smattering. Check out all our podcasts at prairiepublic.org or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. It's Main Street on a Monday in mid-December. I'm Eric Etheridge. It's great to have you with us. Okay, so let's get you in the spirit of the holidays. If this next half hour of beautiful, uplifting choral performances from Concordia College and Moorhead's acclaimed choir doesn't uplift you into a seasonal state of mind, well, I just don't know what will.
Welcome. We invite you to rejoice and sing as we celebrate the Christmas season together with selections from the 2023 Concordia College Christmas Concert. In the next half hour, we'll showcase the performances of three choirs, the Concordia Choir, the Concordia Chapel Choir, and Concordia's own Cantorai, in collaboration with the Concordia Orchestra. Our Christmas season begins in quiet reverie before the Concordia Choir calls us to joyful action in Bach's timeless Rejoice and Sing, followed by the Concordia Orchestra's sweeping performance of Nimrod from Edward Elgar's Enigma Variations, Opus 36. Our next selection is likely a familiar seasonal favorite for many. Wake Awake for Night is Flying was originally written in German in 1598 by Philip Nicolai and translated to English by Catherine Winkworth more than 200 years later. This stirring a cappella arrangement was composed by F. Melius Christensen and is sung by the Concordia Choir. Here, the traditional Christmas hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, is made new in an arrangement by Dan Forrest, complete with a triumphal brass introduction that sweeps into a near lullaby before returning to exultation and the angels' call to rejoice. Rejoicing doesn't have to be boisterous. It can be gentle and sweet, too, as it is in Carol of Joy, a traditional Spanish song arranged by Richard Zagodova. This lilting waltz is sung by the Concordia Choir, subtly supported by a soft blend of percussion.
Watching over the plain.
Our next piece, performed by all three choirs and the Concordia Orchestra, is Rejoice and Sing by John Rutter. You may find it familiar, as Rutter incorporates the text of the familiar carol I Saw Three Ships, with an unusual 7/8 time signature that lends it a rushing, darting drive. In Carol Maroli's Rejoice and Sing, the choirs and orchestra renew their call to joy with a tuneful melodic line supported by lush harmonies.
Rejoice, O daughters!
In Christian tradition, Compline is the last prayer of the day, the completion of it. Dr. Renee Clausen began the tradition of capping off the Christmas concert with Compline, and his successor, Dr. Michael Culleton, has gladly continued it.
Almighty God, you made this holy night shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that here on earth we may walk in the light of Jesus' presence, and in the last day wake to the brightness of his glory. Through your only Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
We hope you've enjoyed the Concordia College Christmas Concert, and from all of us here at Concordia, Merry Christmas. And we hope that you too, in this festive season, rejoice and sing.
That was the Concordia College Christmas Concert, recorded in 2023. If you'd like to see the whole spectacle, you can watch it in all its glory on the television service of Prairie Public. That's happening Friday, December the 20th at 8 p.m. Central, 7 Mountain. Tomorrow, right here on Main Street, as we continue our week of holiday special programming, stories of tourists behaving badly, just as the holiday travel season is heating up. I'm Eric Dethrotopia. Enjoyed the show today. Thank you so much for listening.